our Facebook page at VOA One The Hits. Hang tight.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn and Dan Friedel. Later, Armin Kasabian brings us this week's Ask a Teacher. We close our show with an American story. This week, it is A Pair of Silk Stockings by Kate Chopin. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
A Books for Food program in Guatemala is helping feed needy children as hunger rates rise during the coronavirus crisis. The program began about a year ago in the city of Quetzaltenango. It is run by a local nonprofit organization that aims to feed nearly 400 children. Boniface Diaz works for the program. He delivers books on his bicycle to people across the area. When people receive the books, they give him food in return. On a recent day, Diaz dropped off a sociology book to the home of a local teacher. In return, he picked up 4 bags of Incaparina, a high-protein drink mix widely used in the country to fight child hunger. Guatemala has long suffered high rates of child malnutrition. But the coronavirus pandemic has worsened the problem. Since the pandemic hit, Diaz has traveled more than 2,000 kilometers on his bicycle. He has delivered loads of books and carried back thousands of kilograms of Incaparina for the nonprofit group 32 Volcanoes. The program is simple. People choose a book they want from a list of donated titles and in return give bags of Incaparina. By bringing the Books for Food program directly to people's homes, the 44-year-old Diaz makes sure donations keep flowing. The hunger crisis has intensified as many people stay home to avoid catching or spreading the coronavirus. People want to provide support, but stay-at-home restrictions have gotten very strong, said Diaz, an actor by profession. People get motivated if I go to their home with my bike. Diaz sometimes pulls a small cart that helps him carry up to 57 kilograms of product. He has traveled as far as 60 kilometers for a delivery to a town in the western highlands where road conditions are poor. The World Bank estimates that nearly half of the population in Guatemala's highlands, a majority indigenous area, suffers from malnutrition. Incaparina has been a life-saving product for many families. One bag provides 24 servings and costs about $1.15. But that price is still costly for the families that 32 Volcanoes serves, said the program's co-founder, Dr. Carmen Benitez. The number of children her group serves has increased from 120 to 382 during the pandemic. Nearly a year into the Books for Food program, 2 more cyclists have joined Diaz and donations keep flowing in. Ana Castillo is the 29-year-old high school teacher who recently received the sociology book from Diaz. She donates to the program often. The 1.8 kilograms of incaparina she provided will help one family eat for a month. Castillo looks forward to choosing her books from the titles Diaz posts on social media. She told the Associated Press that she also loves the feeling of a growing circle of giving and receiving. "You might not get to those places, but your help can," she said. Diaz said he plans to continue cycling against hunger as long as the need exists. He has faced his own economic difficulties since the theater company he co-founded closed last spring. But the program has kept him active. "It's an opportunity to serve in which we all benefit," Diaz said. I'm Brian Lynn.
The sport of American football in the National Football League is played by men, but more women are now teaching and training players how to do their jobs better as coaches. Last Sunday, two women coaches became Super Bowl champions when their team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, won the NFL championship game. Maral Javadifar is a strength coach. She helps players exercise so they can stay fit during the season. If a player gets hurt, she helps them recover. Lori Locust is a defensive line coach. She works to help players on the first line of defense against the other team. They work as assistant coaches under Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Buccaneers. Cindy Boren is a sports reporter for the Washington Post. She recently wrote about Javadifar and Locust. She said, "Those women and others have the ability to coach the men."
Bruce Arians' opinion on women in coaching is that if you can teach, you can coach. And he feels that it was more than time for women to be on the staff. And, you know, he hired the first one, Jen Welter, back 5 years ago when he was the head coach in Arizona.
The Buccaneers coaches were not the first women to coach in the NFL championship game. The first female coach in the Super Bowl was actually Katie Sowers of the San Francisco 49ers, whose team lost to Kansas City in 2020. In other sports, more women are now coaching men as well. The National Basketball Association has a large number of women assistant coaches, including Becky Hammon of the San Antonio Spurs. Hammon was a player with the San Antonio Stars in the WNBA. The WNBA is a league for female players founded by the NBA. 1 year, Hammon could not play after an injury, so she started helping the Spurs during some of their practices. After Hammon stopped playing professional basketball, San Antonio coach Greg Popovich offered her a job as an assistant coach. In late December, Popovich was ejected partway through a game against the Los Angeles Lakers. Hammon made history when she took over the team for the rest of the game. Other NBA teams, including the Cleveland Cavaliers, Washington Wizards, Toronto Raptors and Dallas Mavericks also have women coaches. Lindsay Harding, a former WNBA player, is now a coach with the Sacramento Kings. She told ESPN that women are often afraid of not being accepted by the players. But in her experience, she said, the players aren't the problem at all. Boren, the sports reporter, said the high-level college and professional leagues in women's basketball make it easier for the men to accept the women. They respect their credentials. She noted that the NBA is probably the first league that will have a female head coach.
I think the attitudes toward women are a little more advanced, a little more liberated than in football. I can't tell you, as a female sports writer, I can't tell you the number of times I've heard, well, you never played the game. What do you know? Well, you know, it doesn't really matter. And I think the NBA is a little more evolved on that and a little more open to it.
Women coaches are less involved in other professional sports. The first woman to coach in a Major League Baseball game appeared during an exhibition game between the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland Athletics in July 2020. Alyssa Nacken of the Giants appeared on the field as the first base coach. Jill Ellis coached the USA women's soccer team to victory in the two most recent World Cups. She was considered a candidate to be the coach for DC United of Major League Soccer last winter, but she was not chosen for the men's team. In England, Emma Hayes is the manager for Chelsea's women's team. She is one of the most successful managers in the Women's Super League. Hayes was recently asked if she wanted to coach a men's team. She said, she's already happy coaching some of the best players in the world and is not looking for a new job. I'm Dan Friedel.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question from Tien, who is from Hanoi, Vietnam. Dear VOA, I'm Tien. Nice to meet you. I read many ways to use the verb work. For example, work at, work in, work for, work with, etc. Please explain clearly for each situation. Thanks a lot. Dear Tien, thank you for your email. Work has several usages. It can be a verb, noun, or adjective. The examples you asked about used work as a verb. The structure is verb plus preposition plus noun. Here is a simple example sentence.
Fred works at a restaurant.
This means Fred has a job at a restaurant. He is a restaurant employee. We often use the work at combination when someone asks us the question, what do you do? But we also might use work plus in, like in this example.
I work in the telecommunications industry.
Let's continue with that imaginary discussion.
Me too. I work for Verizon.
Oh, you work with our main competitor.
There are lots of prepositions that work with the verb work. For example, did you know a person can work under someone? Listen again to our telecommunication workers.
Do you know Pamela Jackson at Verizon?
She is my supervisor. I work under her at the New York headquarters.
Really? We worked on a project together years ago, but we worked out of Dallas, Texas.
Work also combines with other words to create phrasal verbs. A phrasal verb combines a verb and another word to create a meaning different from what each individual word suggests. We have used a few phrasal verbs in this report. Can you find them? Maybe you can even work out their meaning. Thank you again for the question, Tian. We always want to work toward a better understanding of American English. And to our listeners everywhere, what questions do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Armin Kasabian.
Our story today is called A Pair of Silk Stockings. It was written by Kate Chopin. Here is Barbara Klein with the story.
Little Mrs. Summers one day found herself the unexpected owner of $15. It seemed to her a very large amount of money. The way it filled up her worn money holder gave her a feeling of importance that she had not enjoyed for years. The question of investment was one she considered carefully. For a day or two, she walked around in a dreamy state as she thought about her choices. She did not wish to act quickly and do anything she might regret. During the quiet hours of the night, she lay awake considering ideas. A dollar or two could be added to the price she usually paid for her daughter Janie's shoes. This would guarantee they would last a great deal longer than usual. She would buy cloth for new shirts for the boys. Her daughter Mag should have another dress. And still, there would be enough left for new stockings, 2 pairs per child. What time that would save her in always repairing old stockings. The idea of her little family looking fresh and new for once in their lives made her restless with excitement. The neighbors sometimes talked of the better days that little Miss Summers had known before she had ever thought of being Mrs. Summers. She herself never looked back to her younger days. She had no time to think about the past. The needs of the present took all her energy. Mrs. Summers knew the value of finding things for sale at reduced prices. She could stand for hours making her way, little by little, toward the desired object that was selling below cost. She could push her way if need be. But that day she was tired and a little bit weak. She had eaten a light meal. No, she thought about her day. Between getting the children fed and the house cleaned and preparing herself to go shopping, she had forgotten to eat at all. When she arrived at the large department store, she sat in front of an empty counter. She was trying to gather strength and courage to push through a mass of busy shoppers. She rested her hand upon the counter. She wore no gloves. She slowly grew aware that her hand had felt something very pleasant to touch. She looked down to see that her hand lay upon a pile of silk stockings. A sign nearby announced that they had been reduced in price. A young girl who stood behind the counter asked her if she wished to examine the silky leg coverings. She smiled as if she had been asked to inspect diamond jewelry with the aim of purchasing it. But she went on feeling the soft, costly items. Now she used both hands, holding the stockings up to see the light shine through them. Two red marks suddenly showed on her pale face. She looked up at the shop girl. "Do you think there are any size 8.5 among these?" There were a great number of stockings in her size. Mrs. Summers chose a black pair and looked at them closely. $1.98, she said aloud. "Well, I will buy this pair." She handed the girl a $5 bill and waited for her change and the wrapped box with the stockings. What a very small box it was. It seemed lost in her worn old shopping bag. Mrs. Summers then took the elevator, which carried her to an upper floor into the ladies' rest area. In an empty corner, she replaced her cotton stockings for the new silk ones. For the first time, she seemed to be taking a rest from the tiring act of thought. She had let herself be controlled by some machine-like force that directed her actions and freed her of responsibility. How good was the touch of the silk on her skin! She felt like lying back in the soft chair and enjoying the richness of it. She did for a little while. Then she put her shoes back on and put her old stockings into her bag. Next, she went to the shoe department, sat down, and waited to be fitted. The young shoe salesman was unable to guess about her background. He could not resolve her worn old shoes with her beautiful new stockings. She tried on a pair of new boots. She held back her skirts and turned her feet one way and her head another way as she looked down at the shiny pointed boots. Her foot and ankle looked very lovely. She could not believe that they were a part of herself. She told the young salesman that she wanted an excellent and stylish fit. She said she did not mind paying extra as long as she got what she desired. After buying the new boots, she went to the glove department. It was a long time since Mrs. Summers had been fitted with gloves. When she had bought a pair, they were always bargains, so cheap that it would have been unreasonable to have expected them to be fitted to her hand. Now she rested her arm on the counter where gloves were for sale. A young shop girl drew a soft leather glove over Mrs. Summers' hand. She smoothed it down over the wrist and buttoned it neatly. Both women lost themselves for a second or two as they quietly praised the little gloved hand. There were other places where money might be spent. A store down the street sold books and magazines. Mrs. Summers bought two costly magazines that she used to read back when she had been able to enjoy other pleasant things. She lifted her skirts as she crossed the street. Her new stockings and boots and gloves had worked wonders for her appearance. They had given her a feeling of satisfaction, a sense of belonging to the well-dressed crowds. She was very hungry. Another time, she would have ignored the desire for food until reaching her own home. But the force that was guiding her would not permit her to act on such a thought. There was a restaurant at the corner. She had never entered its doors. She had sometimes looked through the windows. She had noted the white tablecloths, shining glasses, and waiters serving wealthy people. When she entered, her appearance created no surprise or concern, as she had half feared it might. She seated herself at a small table. A waiter came at once to take her order. She ordered 6 oysters, a chop, something sweet, a glass of wine, and a cup of coffee. While waiting to be served, she removed her gloves very slowly and set them beside her. Then she picked up her magazine and looked through it. It was all very agreeable. The tablecloths were even more clean and white than they had seemed through the window, and the crystal drinking glasses shined even more brightly. There were ladies and gentlemen who did not notice her, lunching at the small tables like her own. A pleasing piece of music could be heard, and a gentle wind was blowing through the window. She tasted a bite, and she read a word or two, and she slowly drank the wine. She moved her toes around in the silk stockings. The price of it all made no difference. When she was finished, she counted the money out to the waiter and left an extra coin on his tray. He bowed to her as if she were a princess of royal blood. There was still money in her purse, and her next gift to herself presented itself as a theater advertisement. When she entered the theater, the play had already begun. She sat between richly dressed women who were there to spend the day eating sweets and showing off their costly clothing. There were many others who were there only to watch the play. It is safe to say there was no one there who had the same respect that Mrs. Summers did for her surroundings. She gathered in everything, stage and players and people, in one wide sensation. She laughed and cried at the play. She even talked a little with the women. One woman wiped her eyes with a small square of lace and passed Mrs. Summers her box of candy. The play was over, the music stopped, the crowd flowed outside. It was like a dream ended. Mrs. Summers went to wait for the cable car. A man with sharp eyes sat opposite her. It was hard for him to fully understand what he saw in her expression. In truth, he saw nothing, unless he was a magician. Then he would sense her heartbreaking wish that the cable car would never stop anywhere, but go on and on with her forever.
That's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.